I think they're just going to walk around the whole service now with this, kind of figure out who to. Good job. I love people watching. And so with my two trips outside this past summer and my 10 flights that we did, I had a lot of time to people watch. And I like watching just everything about how we interact with each other. So what it looks like when we're trying to find our gate and how people handle themselves and how they deal with that panic and that anxiety. And most of the time, we all wear it on our faces. And I loved watching people come off of a plane and ready to go. Because they finally either arrived at their destination or they have to run to the next gate, but are excited to see family. And you can tell the difference sometimes on people's faces if they're coming for a business meeting or if they're coming home from a long vacation or if they are coming to somebody waiting for them. But what always happens, no matter where you're at, there is always a seat in between people at a gate, unless they're traveling together. So no matter what flight I would go on or what airport I was in, someone would sit on the end of a string of four chairs, and someone would either sit on the other end and leave two in the middle or leave one in the middle and sit down in the next one. And even if they didn't have bags that they were putting on the chair next to them or left them in front of them, there would always be a seat in between people. Like we're working on creating this space in between us. And then you notice people's expressions when they make eye contact with somebody. So if somebody does happen to come and sit next to them, you build walls and you do not make eye contact because that person might start telling you their life story. You don't want to have that happen. Same thing when you sit down next to somebody. Hi, please don't talk to me. You can see it on people's faces. Or you can even see the people who are called first. We now welcome our MVP Gold members. And you watch kind of their faces as they strut to the plane first. I get a bigger chair than you. I mean, or they completely avoid eye contact with everybody else walking onto the plane. I wouldn't know. I don't know what that feels like. It's kind of funny, just the space that we create between each other. Like, I don't want any of somebody else's humanity to get on me. And what's funny is scripture says nothing is new under the sun. It's that same attitude we seem to have ages and ages past. So Jesus is invited to this wonderful dinner that a leader of the Pharisees has, and he is a people watcher. So while they're watching him to see what he's going to do, he is watching them right back. And when it's time for everybody to gather in and to find their spots to sit, they're all eyeing each other up. Oh, Zechariah is here today. I wonder why he would even bother to show up. Or, oh, look, Eleazar, did you hear about what's going on with his brother's health? See, we wear our standing by a plane ticket, economy class, the one that has the extra leg room, or first class. They wear it on their sleeves based on how their lives are presented to the world around them. It's a society of honor and shame. And those who are wealthy and those who are healthy are the ones who are obviously blessed by God. But everybody else, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the ones who are struggling with health or with family, or their family is struggling, puts shame on them. And unfortunately, they're the ones that are pushed aside by God, cursed by God. And there's really nothing in between. And so when it's time for them to sit down at this dinner, Jesus is watching them all kind of eye up who goes where in the layout. And they all find their spots. And he uses a parable as a way to point out this behavior, kind of like a hypothetical situation. So pretend that you were invited to a wedding, not this dinner, a wedding. And he continues with this parable that we know. Find the last seat so that you would be honored to be pushed to the front. But this is more than just a Hebrew code of conduct at a party. This is not just table manners by Jesus. Because the next thing he does is turn to the host and tells the host that when you throw a party, when you have a celebration for something, you don't need to invite your friends, your relatives, the people that you're supposed to rub elbows with in society so that you may be honored more. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so's party? Jesus tells him to invite the people who are crippled and lame, the people who are blind and poor. Because this meal is not about being shuffling for position. This meal is not about finding more honor for yourself. That's not the way to be a host. See, a lot of times we like to think that we may be at the leaves at the top of a tree, that we may be the elite ones, the ones who have things figured out. After all, look where we are on a Sunday morning. God, of course, favors us, right? And forget that we are all leaves on the same tree, that there is no hierarchy in the community and the family of God, that there is no jockeying for position or looking down at one another because of what we've gone through in our lives or where we currently happen to be, or I'm obviously blessed right now, right? That is not the God we have. See, the God that we have always invites the people who are hurting to feast at God's table, always inviting people who are broken and who recognize that their lives are not perfect are the ones that God embraces. Because at God's table, we are all on equal ground. We are all in need of God's grace and God's mercy. We are all in need of strength for our lives. We are all in need of having dignity and value and worth. And through this meal and through this community, God eliminates the distance that we try to put between each other. And those who accept that invitation from God can only accept it humbly, knowing who we are, knowing that we may leave spaces between us because we don't want someone else to see our humanity, that we don't want other people to know just how hurt we are or how broken we are. But we accept God's invitation because God knows and still invites us and still welcomes us and still calls us beloved. And then God calls us for the next step, to go out and share that with others, to invite other people to the table, and not the ones who seem to have things all together, but the crippled and the blind and the lame, the people that may be at the bottom of the tree that we hope not to brush leaves with. But that's who God embraces. And Hebrews does a beautiful job of reminding us what that looks like, to let mutual love continue, to welcome the stranger, because we may be entertaining an angel, to bring hospitality to those who are in prison, like it was us that were there too, to welcome those who are different from us, to not let envy come between us and our partners, to not let the love of money and that greed feed into it, but to see one another, to see and care for one another the same way that God does. And it ends, our reading ended with, do not neglect to do good and to share with what you have, because such a sacrifice is pleasing to God. And we are about to do that as a church. Starting next Sunday for 1 week, we are welcoming the people who are experiencing homelessness, people who have been fighting and struggling for their lives, who need at least $25 an hour to make life work in Fairbanks. And if you're a single parent, you're not gonna find a job for $25 an hour that'll make it work, that you can have childcare on the side as well. So we as a church will be welcoming in people who are struggling in this world, and we are going to be offering them worth and the dignity and the honor that they deserve as children of God. And we will be as equals with them, sharing meals with them here, making space for their humanity and for their struggles, recognizing that we have our own as well. And we'll rub shoulders, and we'll spend the night here at the church, and we will care for one another the way that God cares for us. So as we are ready to welcome these few families next Sunday, it is always this reminder that we have been entrusted with much. We have been blessed with much as a congregation. We have much to celebrate together as God's people, and we have much to give. A warm building, space to spread out in, some fantastic cooks in our congregation, and people who are willing to open their hearts to see one another as equals in God's family, to eliminate the distance that we put between us. Now, living this way is hard. Jesus rarely calls us to do something easy. Eliminating that distance means we're going to get someone else's humanity on us, that we may be entertaining angels. We may know it in the moment of what a wonderful conversation that was with this stranger, but there are more often times than not that we are gritting our teeth and checking the clock and wondering when this conversation will end, because it's hard to be with one another in that way. But God's work is always to pull us closer and to trust that those kind of sacrifices of our time and our listening ears and the sacrifice of our compassion for the sake of somebody else is worth it, because we will be blessed at the resurrection of the righteous. May not feel it in the moment. May have been an hour of my time wasted. But if our hearts are there, God is there with us. Regardless of our status or our character, our personality flaws or the ways that we just rub against each other, regardless of the personal struggles we have with that person or the ways that others have hurt us in the past, we are all equals at this table. And we are all invited the same by the love and compassion of God, so that we may be fed and freed and forgiven to live this love in our community. Amen. If you are able, I invite you to stand. We'll join together in our song of the day. It is number